We're good. Had to wait for the thumbs up. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's different. I'm not blending in with you looking up here. I'm up here. The only target up here. I want to first thank Reverend Mosby in his absence and the administrative staff for extending the invitation to be here and speak before my church. It is truly a privilege and an honor. And in case I doze off, it's because Sam and his cohort, who'd rather be seen and not viewed, told me last Sunday that they had a better deal. Out of concern, I did not sleep. And so, if I start to doze off, you'll know why. I'm relaxed that they came. Oh, boy, this is a great opportunity. I've spoken a lot in front of several audiences in church, even tried to sing a bit in a church. But I've never spoken in front of what is still to me my new home church. I was speaking to my wife, and we concluded it's not only a big deal, but it's meaningful. It's meaningful. I've been given a lot of support throughout the week. I had a text received last night that advised me to just drink plenty of water, no snacks, after dinner. And it wasn't on my mind until the text was sent. My wife brought a piece of cake here from an event she went to earlier. I ate the cake. I had 2 Oreo cookies. I think I ended it right there. So, and I love it that the Daily Word ties right into the end of what I'm going to speak on today, service. And it's taken me a lot of ups and downs, living and learning, to get to understand that. So I plan to share a bit of me today and hoping that there'll be a message that you can get from it. So who are you? And what do you want? I asked for some water. I needed a gallon. They brought me this, though, so. Yeah, at least a gallon, but I'll take this. So who are you, and what do you want? Nearly 2 decades ago, I was involved in a couple of self-development transformational trainings, intense trainings. Anybody ever heard of Landmark and The Forum? Yeah. I think I did a week there, and then there was another company, similar, WorldWorks. It was pretty intense. I got into the second week, and there was an activity that they had us do, a group of us, a room full of us, 40, 50 people maybe. They had us pair off in the 2s, facing one another, sitting practically knee to knee, eye to eye, and one would take a turn and ask the other in a rapid succession, what do you want? 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 And we ask it and ask it and ask it. And it was interesting. A lot of funny answers came up. I want a ship. I want the Empire State Building. I want new socks. I want a piece of candy. And after all of that began to be picked off the surface, the rapid succession of the questions didn't allow us to really think. And that was the purpose. They wanted it to eventually seep through the conscious into the spirit from the heart. And by the end of that activity, most everybody, if not everybody, had the same answer, came to the same conclusion. So, who are you? And another way of putting that is, how can we, or do you want to, or have you ever thought about reaching your full potential, being self-actualized? And so, I wanted to get a good book definition of it. So it is a term that's been used in various psychological theories, which tend to stress the organization, unity, integration of human beings through each individual's inherent growth or developmental tendency. Abraham Maslow, who Reverend Mosby has mentioned here before, an American psychologist who's well known for his work with the hierarchy of human needs, define self-actualization as the desire for self-fulfillment, namely the tendency for the individual to become actualized in what he or she is potentially. So again, I ask you, who are you and what do you want? Have you or do you want to actualize your full potential? Think about it. Yeah. So allow me to share a bit of myself with you. First, this talk is really about realizing who you are, what you want, and how I believe faith, love, and God, all as one, is the foundation and the driving force toward that discovery. If God is within me and you, and I am a part of God, we are a part of God, then having faith in God is having faith in me and you. Trusting God would be trusting yourself. To love God is to love yourself. To believe in God is to believe in yourself. Whew. Love for self and faith. It wasn't supposed to get so emotional so early. I have a lot to go through. My daughter, my 15-year-old, told me it's good, but you need a few more jokes, Dad. So it gets a little intense, but let's move on. So can anybody relate, though? Can you relate? Am I the only person who has ever asked this question of themselves? So again, allow me to share a bit of my story as it related to me and my life lessons, as they relate to how I came to discover the answer of who I am and what I want. I grew up in Washington, D.C., Northwest, Southeast, Northeast, and did a short stint in Langley Park, Maryland. Had a two-parent working family. Both parents worked. They provided a comfortable life for my three sisters, one brother, and myself. Had every bit of food, nurturing, nutritious, and not nutritious food I ever wanted. Pop-Tarts, cupcakes, and you name it. Had every bit of clothing I ever wanted. My Husky jeans fit me well. Never went hungry. Comfortable life. But there was a void in me that grew as I grew. You see, there was some friction, agitation, and heated emotions in the household that created feelings of fear and doubt in my young mind. You know, children are known to act as sponges. They pick up every word, action, and emotion in the environment. So, as a kid, I internalized these things. I personalized it. And before I knew it, that's how I began to see myself through these feelings and negative emotions. It shaped my experiences. I was shaped by the community, my immediate community, the world at large, and by the biggest tool of communication, the most powerful tool of communication, before the World Wide Web, and I don't know which one is in front now, television. I think I heard somebody say it, TV. Yeah. These pictures and messages that I internalized as negative were seared into my consciousness, my subconscious, and my spirit. And I wasn't always proud of the actions and behaviors of the men nearest me, and nor did I really feel a connection with those men I viewed on television. I was regularly frightened by the thought of the mightiest man above who would one day come down and destroy us all. And this began my major disconnect. I would carry these loads of feelings with me into my everyday little 7-8-year-old life. And in the first grade, I'd sit in class daydreaming brushing or rubbing the plaque off of my unbrushed teeth. You see, my mother would call me from the bedroom on school mornings, "Roderick, Roderick." I wouldn't answer the first, second time, third time when she pronounced it very clearly, "Roderick." I knew it was time to get up. I'd carry my little sleepy self on into the bathroom, cut on the bath faucet, put the seat down on the toilet, and finish catching some more Z's. When I thought she thought I'd been in there long enough, I'd cut off the water, carry my little stinky butt right on back into the bedroom, get dressed, and carry on to school. I was later told, though, that a child's lack of attention to his or her hygiene could be an early sign of depression. Or simply an 8-year-old boy who didn't mind dirt and the smell of his own natural cologne. I was held back in the first grade, not because I wasn't smart enough or couldn't do the work, but I was in escape mode from my current reality. There was a lack of focus and faith in my abilities. I struggled my way through several more grades of school, and in 1979, while sitting on the third floor of Dunbar Senior High School in D.C., English class, a cold winter day, the teacher looked outside. She saw about 3 students playing hooky. She looked at them, looked back at us in class, and said, "Oh, I know, only because it's cold outside. There are only 3 of you, but when the weather breaks, there'll be more." In the turmoil of my emotions and my silent anger and my confused mind, I silently said to her, "I'll show you." And I dropped out of school that day, never to return. Don't make me laugh. You say, "Ooh, it's supposed to be serious." I dropped out that day, never to return. I gave up on myself. I later determined that to be the biggest regret in my life to that point. I didn't get the opportunity to participate in the prom, put on some nice, clean, colorful socks and stuff, you know, walk across the stage and receive that diploma. Didn't get the opportunity to begin to build lifelong relationships starting from that point. And most importantly, I didn't get the opportunity to invest in my self-worth. I went into the workforce. My mother and father weren't going to have me be a complete bum, come home and lay around and do absolutely nothing. So I went into the workforce with no real sense of purpose, nor the spirit to excel at any noticeable rate. So the question remained, who am I and what do I want? Have you ever been through a period in life where your challenges were bigger than your faith? Your coping skills didn't match the battle at hand. You found yourself in a space of uncertainty. But there was and is the spirit of love born in us all that never leaves and is there for us to discover. I felt the soft urge and the voices of those adults in my young life who loved me and would tell me, "Roderick, you can. You have the potential. All you have to do is apply yourself." All right, how many other, doesn't necessarily have to be boys or males, how many other knuckleheads heard that? Little knuckleheads. Come on, I know I'm not the only one. Come on. So those voices played in my head. The internal rise of godliness that we all share nudged me to make a go at growing through my perceived limitations. A few years later, I attained my GED. And 4 years afterwards, while working in the basement of AARP, I got a call from my older sister saying, "Hey, little bruh, I heard that the fire department is hiring." and always wanted to be of service, always being willing to help, I jumped at the opportunity. So it was unconscious to me, though, at that time, that in addition to wanting to help, I had a need to be a part of something bigger than I had ever experienced. So in September of 1989, I responded to that innate call for growth. I stood in line around the DC Armory with more than 1,500 other applicants to become a DC firefighter. After the written exam, and a bit later, the physical agility test, that same little kid who felt disconnected from the winning spirit of God, that same little kid who was held back in the first and seventh grades, that same little kid who dropped out of high school, gave up on himself, graduated in the top 1% of more than 1,500 other applicants. I became a DC firefighter in December of 1990, served 28 years, and this past December just retired. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. This was my reach to find a purpose and fill that void. I continued to look for the answers to my life outside of me and around me, though. I wanted you, Sam in particular, to give me. I wanted Sam and others to give me the answers to my life. I made half-hearted attempts at looking for or listening for the answers, but they didn't come when or how I thought they should. So I gave up fairly quickly. Mind you, I held a meaningful and important role as a public servant in the nation's capital. I had a home, car, clothes, refrigerator full of food, and most importantly, three little girls depending on me at that time. But the inside could not match what you saw on the outside. At one point in my life, after I had scared many of you while driving down the road in that fire truck, it's such a rush. Has anybody ever ridden on a fire truck? You have? Is it a rush or not? You have the legal right to blow the horn. Bump! Bump! And you can see for, just a note, if you're ever in front of a fire truck near an intersection, don't pull up and stop in the intersection. That might be where we need to turn. Actually, I'm no longer employed. Might be where they need to turn. So stay before or beyond the intersection. So I was having fun doing all that, enjoying the adrenaline rush. I drove the front of the ladder truck. Oh my goodness, what a feeling. Being of service to others, loving it. But at one point in my life, I felt like dying was easier than living. Again, this true, deep, abiding love that I could not make real to me, the universal spirit of love, this breath of life that we are all breathing at this time, would not let me end my earthly journey before answering the what and who am I of my life. I at least made the decision to seek some help. And I began to listen to those who had walked my walk, those who were intimately familiar with how I was feeling and what I was going through. They understood the internal hell, the lack of faith, the lack of connection to true love for self. Millions believe that heaven and hell are above us and below us. If you've felt or experienced anything like I felt, you might feel that heaven and hell can be experienced right here on earth. I had to begin and continue to practice principles and steps for how to begin to save the little boy who rarely made a conscious effort to practice faith in his life. The now grown man who was having a hard time making the connection between God and himself. So the question remained, who am I and what do I want? I ask, who are you and what do you want? What do you want? A lot of us here have seen a lot of life. We've been married, divorced, children, married again, divorced. I'll end on married. Married, or just enjoying the single life. We're parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. And what I've gathered so far is as long as we are breathing, no matter how much of this life we've been through, we still have the need for growth, the inherent, born in us need for growth. Be it physical, emotional well-being, mental or spiritual awareness and enlightenment, or simply the accumulation of more material gain and fun and experiences. Are you listening to that call for growth? Are you responding to that call for growth, however it's coming to you? I think each individual answers the question of who they are for themselves. After shedding the surface layers of wants and needs in life, as I found that what people really want and what that group that I was a part of more than two decades ago came to the conclusion of is that we just simply want to be happy. It comes in many different forms. Happiness for you isn't necessarily happiness for me, but in the end, after the question is drilled to you, what do you want? 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 Let it seep in. What do you want? The cars, the house, the shoes, the suits, the jewelry, the love, relationships, all ends up in happiness. We want to be happy. Happy to have made it through the many life's challenges as steadily growing spiritual beings in this human existence. Happy to be a part of and feel connected in the ultimate happiness. To be at peace with yourself. Yeah. Through experience, I've come to believe that what we see and feel in ourselves, we see and feel in others. When you have faith in yourself, you can more easily trust and have faith in others. When you experience the love of God in yourself, you can better see and feel the godliness in others. I encourage reflection and introspection for the purpose of cleansing and maintenance to grow the God in you, to help us work through our stuff, that baggage of stuff that we carry into decade after decade, maybe year after year, maybe week after week, maybe day after day. Reverend Mosby references a prayer that's short and powerful and says it all for me. And it reads, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, soul, mind, and body. Reveal in me. Gonna stop it and add a little bit. Reveal in me all that stuff that I'm afraid to look at, all of the hurt and pain. Reveal in me that which needs to be revealed so I can walk a brighter, bigger life. and heal in me that which needs to be healed. Heal it for me, God, and heal me deeply. It is done. Amen. I haven't met a perfectly happy or unblemished person yet. My ego would love for me to stand here and only mention the good deeds I've done. I often say when people are, you know, receiving the awards, we'll see them on the award show and everything. Oh, that's when they're in their glory. Everything is beautiful. They're being perceived as unblemished, and they're looking good. They're clean. They're saying some good things. What happens when you leave the stage? What happens then? So my ego would love for me to talk about or be known for the acts of kindness and courage that I displayed somewhere along the line in my life. But when I took up the challenge to practice a little faith and gain the courage to bear my soul and all its hurt, take the responsibility for my words and actions, stop viewing myself as a victim, give faith a try, and give myself a chance, I realized I had a shot at finding love, true love, love for me that helps me more easily love you. A restorative, sustaining love which connects me to you and you and you and you and you. I'm going to close by reading a page out of my book that Christine mentioned earlier. Put these bifocals on, you know, once I got past a certain age. Buddy at the firehouse saw me reading something. I was doing like that. He said, "Hey, Mitch, try these." Thank you, God. This is titled, "The Truth." The human being is a resilient creature. Throughout so many stories of pain, suffering, trauma, and emotional turmoil, we still fight back. We fight to get to that place of peace and sanity somewhere in the center of our being. We all do not make it to our center at the same time or pace. Some settle for staying in the same emotional rut year after year, decade after decade, sometimes generation after generation. I guess that is part of the reason there continues to be so much turmoil in the world. A planet of people with different experiences at different locations and different perspectives, all wanting to get from the place of pain and discourse to a place of happiness. I would like to think that we're all aiming for happiness within ourselves as individuals and for happiness with the world around us. I would also like to think that as we live and share this space of existence with family, friends, and strangers, we will continue to learn from, accept, forgive, and be forgiven for life's mistakes. I have come to the conclusion that outside of skin color, cultural beliefs and rituals, we are all the same. I'm able to accept, when I'm able to accept myself for who I am inside and out, I will be able to accept you as well. As I see it, the ultimate desire for every human being on earth is to be happy. The road we each take to get there can be tricky. I would normally, or the way I often end a lot of my presentations or my videos, I have a tagline that goes, "Finish strong, finish strong, and finish strong." But in place of that today, I just encourage us to finish in faith, finish in love, and then we can finish strong. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.